Hello everyone, welcome with this PNP webcast. Today we're going to talk about how to prepare your on-premises SharePoint 2013 or 2016 farm for add-in development. My name is Bert Jansen, I'm a service engineer, and today my lovely assistant will be Vesa.
Thank you, Bert. So my name is Vesa Juvonen, I'm a senior program manager in Office 365 Engineering, and I'm trying to be as lovely as I can using my Finglish as the decoration.
All right. Sounds good. Sounds exciting. Oh, here we go. So this session is all about preparing your on-premises farm for add-in development. So if you want to do development in your on-premises environment using add-in model, which is what we strongly recommend, even if you would do development purely targeting on-premises, you don't have any plans to move to the cloud yet, still, we would advise you to do add-in development because it's the future-proof way. If you want to do that, then you're at the right session. And secondly, add-in development in on-premises, there are two options, so two authentication models. As you, one is just using a low trust, one is using high trust. This session targets the low trust model, as is the recommended model, and we'll come a bit back on the details on why we think this is a recommended model. But if you're in this situation, on-prem development using add-in, and you want to do load trust, then this is the right session for you.
And Bert, on that one, we don't actually think that it's a recommended model. It is the recommended model.
Yeah.
So let's be clear on that.
That's true. So what does that mean? What steps do you need to take to prepare your on-premises farm for add-in development? So we kind of divided the effort in two steps. The first step is enabling site collection creation using CSOM. So when you do add-in development, you in a lot of cases you want to do some site provisioning development or using site provisioning solution from PNP, for example. We have the PNP partner pack or the PNP provisioning engine that can do site provisioning for you. Now those components, when you want to develop them, they require that your farm does allow site collection creation using CSOM.
On that one, Bert, just to kind of slightly elaborate that slightly more. It's kind of a slightly awkward even that why isn't it enabled by default? But right now, at least in SharePoint 2013, it was introduced as part of the April CU in 2014. But there's no enablement of that server-side capability or enablement of that CSOM. And that's why you need to run this specific script. For SharePoint 2016 RTM, it's the same story. So we need to explicitly do certain steps and enable, for example, the client callable proxy libraries for the site collection creation.
That's true. And that's maybe is a bit of a missed opportunity, but that's what it is today. So kind of in a nutshell, what are the steps? First two steps are kind of combined. You need to flag a site collection as a tenant admin site collection because the APIs depend on the multi-tenancy capabilities of SharePoint, and as such, the APIs need to find a tenant admin site somewhere. Now, in reality, this is just a flag on a site collection, nothing more, nothing less. So you don't need to set up multi-tenancy in your premises farm, but just flag one site as tenant admin. I would recommend creating a separate site collection for that and name it, for example, like tenant admin to avoid that someone drops the site collection at that point, breaks all of your provisioning efforts. Once you have the site collection created, you need to enable self-service site collection creation so that the flag has to be set in order to have to see some create site method to be able to do his job.
And that's done in a web application level, just to make sure that we cover that in the central admin web application settings.
Yep. And actually also in the script. So this is just the logical steps, but we have a script for you to make your life easier that will do this for you. So, but your Vesa's right, indeed, is in a web application level setting. And finally, you need to update the client callable proxy libraries. That's what Vesa already referred to. Actually kind of telling SharePoint that it can allow the tenant admin API calls from client side. Now, these were the manual steps. Now let's see how we can do this in a slightly easier way. So we have prepared several scripts for you and guidance to make this easier. And what better place than GitHub to put these scripts? So you can find the scripts in our Office Dev PnP tools repository, which is a fairly new repository, Vesa. I think we have it like 3 to 4 months now, focused on more on the IT pro DevOps side of the house, containing scripts to help you with scripts and tools to help you with your SharePoint environment setup.
Sure. And so, more kind of a for on-premises, absolutely, like you mentioned. Yeah. And there are some solutions out there as well. But in this particular call, we'll concentrate on the script side.
Yes, so I went to the repo. You see over here, GitHub tools. And in there, there's a scripts folder. And under scripts, we today have three scripts. One about hybrid search, which we're not going to discuss today. But today, we're going to talk about those two guys here, the Low Trust ACS configuration and the site collection provisioning. So let's first start with the site collection provisioning configuration. So in the folder, you will have the actual scripts that are used and the README explaining the instructions on how to use the script. So first run over the README. One thing to notice about the site collection creation using CSOM is that you need to be at a particular level, April 2014 CU for your SharePoint 2013 firm, or SharePoint 2016 release candidate or higher. So the initial beta SharePoint 2016 didn't have this capability. So moving on, first step is flag that site is tenant admin site. So you need to set up a site collection. In this case, I called my site collection tenant admin, which is a name that, does tell you what the site collection is doing. And so it's easy to remember and easy to not delete it. But once you have created a site collection, it's simply a matter of calling this particular script, define tenant admin site, and provide the URL. This script will flip the flag to mark it as tenant admin.
And quickly on that one, like Bert mentioned on the slide, this does not mean that you need to enable multi-tenancy within your farm. This does not mean that that site collection has to be created using any special means or any special template. It's just a whatever, it could be a team site, a team site collection, which is where we flip that flag.
Yep, absolutely. I'm going to let's actually jump into the script right away just to show you how simple this is. So this is a fairly straightforward script. We load the SharePoint modules, but then this is the only line that really counts here is setting the administration site type, the property of the site, to tenant administration. So definitely no additional multi-tenancy capabilities needed, just doing this particular step.
And it's kind of awkward, to be fair. It's kind of awkward. Why do we need to do that? But it's based on the internals of the API implementation. And it is what it is, and we're just helping here to people to consume what we're having. So.
Yes, absolutely. So second step is preparing your web applications to enable the create site CISO method. So that implies two steps. Adding the tenant admin CSOM step to the client callable proxy libraries and enabling self-service site collection creation. So this has to be done per web app. So if you have five web apps in your on-premises environment and you want to be able to create site collections in all five of those, you need to repeat this step for each web application. We have two versions of the script, version 15, which is targeting SharePoint 2013, and a version 16, which is targeting SharePoint 2016. Please use the right version for your environment. Now, how do you run the script? Again, fairly simple. It's one script with one parameter. In this case, allow tenant API v16 I'm running against the SharePoint 2016 farm, and you specify the web application URL. Once you have done this, don't forget to do an IS reset on all the boxes on your environment. So the script will do an IS reset on the box where you run the script, but your farms typically have multiple servers, so don't forget to do that on those as well. Let's have a quick peek at the script. Let's zoom in like this. So the script will first of all, in this first section, it will enable the client callable proxy libraries. So it will allow you to use CSOM, which is stored in the tenant admin library. The second part of the steps is enabling self-service site collection creation. You could also do this manually, but the script will also ensure that it's flagged. Otherwise, without this, it will not work. And then we do the IS reset. All right.
That's simple enough. That's pretty simple.
Basic, simple script and doing its thing. Let's move back to the slide. And let's go to the second step in our story. It's setting up the low trust connection. Now, you might wonder, do we need to actually use low trust? Because I've heard there's also high trust, and low trust seems to be complex compared to high trust. So, man, I think the answer there is it kind of depends. First of all, it's not more complex, and we'll show you that in the remainder of the session. But if your environment, for example, cannot call out the internet, it's completely isolated at that point, there is no option to use low trust, because low trust requires that the SharePoint farm can connect to Azure ACS, and that that you need to have a SharePoint online environment as well, an Office 365 tenant to enable the low trust setup. So if those things are totally impossible, then high trust is the option. But we strongly recommend you to use the low trust model, as that's the same model as you would use for developing against the SharePoint online.
And I would say actually on that one, still, when you think about the low trust and high trust configuration, it's kind of a, like you said, configuring high trust. If you think about one individual add-in or an app, configuring high trust might be simple, but you need to configure that for every single add-in. The low trust is configured once per farm. And after that, development is exactly the same from a developer perspective as it is against the SharePoint Online. So there's no impact for the developers, and they don't need to understand all of this complexity and the trusting models behind. So it's a one-time farm-level configuration, which we will see in the upcoming slides as well.
Yes. And for your developers, indeed, it becomes seamless whether they develop against on-prem or online.
True.
So it's the same thing for them. Now, before we dive into the details on how to set up this low trust connection, we wanted to give you a quick overview of what's the low trust flow when you create a SharePoint add-in that uses the low trust. So here you see all the actors. So you see the users, the admin, the ACS environment, Azure ACS, SharePoint Farm, etc. So now, what are the interactions that are happening between those actors? And this is a logical, rather high-level model, so it's not exactly correct at a network detailed level, but it does give you a view on what's happening. So in the first step, the server and tenant admin, so someone who has administrative permissions to the SharePoint farm and to the Microsoft SharePoint Office 365 environment, he or she needs to associate the Office 365 environment with the SharePoint on-premise farm. So actually setting up the low trust connection, so the topic of today's session. So that needs to be done before you can even try an app. Once that's done, an add-in admin is called here, can register an application. At that point, the registration actually will happen via SharePoint farm, but it ends up in Azure ACS. So you see that at that point, we due to the connection we made in point one, you're able to register applications in Azure ACS.
And in practice on that one, so the step number two, the add-in registration, you go to that @recnew_aspx page in the SharePoint site collection, and you do that. And that's what it means. There's no, let's say, more special UIs. And then,
correct. And there's also, we'll see later on in the deck, that @recnew page is also a way to validate whether the step one worked. Because if step one failed somehow, this, you will not be able to do this particular registration. All right, then you can approve and publish your applications. So put them in App Catalog and make them available for users, which allows users to install the add-in on their site collections and run add-ins, which is point 4 and 5. Now, an add-in is running outside of SharePoint, as you are most likely aware of. So it needs to call into SharePoint. For that, we use, I'm talking about bullet number 6. For that, we use remote connectivity. So CSOM in this case, or REST calls. Now, if you would want to create a site collection from an add-in, then you would need to enable that capability to allow the site create method being called via CSOM. So the things we discussed about in the previous step, you need them to enable this step 6 for site collection creation. And I think finally, once you start running the application, SharePoint will ensure that you as user does have permissions to make the call, and the application is registered, etc. So we kind of verify that in step 7.
Yeah, and even though that kind of looks like a certificate, it's actually client ID and secret, which are moving between the traffic. So essentially, we are just double checking, is the client ID and a secret matching what has been registered in ACS, and what are the permissions what the admin is asking.
Mm-hmm. So this gives you a high level view on the model. Now, what's important for this session is this part here.
How do we actually do that? Number one thing. Yes.
We should always start with number one. So that's what we're doing right now. Okay. So let's move to some demo. And again, it's meaning looking at the scripts. And again, they are stored in PNP tools. So let's go back over here. Let's go to our scripts folder. And this time, we're going to go to the low-trust ACS configuration folder.
And just to reinforce the message again, this is an operation what the SharePoint farm administrator will do. This is not a developer operation, and this is only done once, and so that the developers can then just consume the farm and its services. So it's not really a developer task when you think of it.
That's true, but it's good as a developer to also understand this. Like if you need to fix your dev box, suppose you still have a SharePoint dev environment with the SharePoint on-premises bits deployed. You can easily kind of connect it to your own SharePoint Online tenant and start using low-trust. All right, same model. So we have a documentation here, which kind of explains what steps that are needed. This applies to SharePoint 2013 and 2016. So the scripts have been tested in both environments. There are a number of prerequisites. First of all, to enable low trust, we need to have an Azure ACS. And to get an Azure ACS, we require you to have an Office 365 tenant as well. So you need to have that tenant available. That can be a basic MSDN tenant that you Office 365 tenant that you got via your MSDN subscription, or a small tenant, but we need a tenant, period. And a final second prerequisite step is that you need to set up app management in your on-premises farm, enabling usage of add-ins in your on-premises farms. This mainly is needed for SharePoint hosted add-ins, but it's a good thing to kind of do this as well for the provider hosted add-ins. In theoretically, you can live without, but since you can have mixed add-ins, so add-ins that also have a SharePoint add-in web in them, it's best to kind of follow these instructions and get this set up as well. All right, this case we have three steps. So the first step, it's obtaining a signing certificate for the SharePoint token service and applying it to the SharePoint token service. So we need a certificate from the token service, and we will then give that to Azure ACS and to the SharePoint online environment in order to make the trust relationship. Now, there is two ways to, there are a number of ways to obtain a certificate. If you look at the default documentation that we have, it will use, it will tell you how to use the INET manager, so the IS manager, to create a self-signed certificate and use that. That works fine, but there is one downside. The certificate is valid for 1 year. So after 1 year, you need to kind of reestablish the trust. So that's why we put here a different approach using MakeCert. So MakeCert.exe is part of the Windows SDK, and it allows you to create self-signed certificates with additional parameters. So in this case, if you look at the sample over here, we're going to first create a development root certificate. So we have one trusted root certificate, which we deploy to the trusted root authority of our environment, and then we just generate certificates that have a spare one distrusted root, which makes it easy for you to do. You only have to put the certificate in the regular location, and you get your firearm does trust the certificates, and you don't need to put all of them in the trusted root at that point. What's important here is if you create certificates to replace the STS certificate, is that the length must be 2048 or higher. That's the key length. If you do lower, you can do the complete setup, but if you start testing it, it will fail. So I've been hitting that a few times where I kind of forgot. So be aware of this one.
And one of the things related on certificates, so theoretically, there's a few other options on this one as well. What you can do, which is actually supported as well, you can pull down the certificate which is already in a SharePoint farm and use that and install that as the certificate when you're talking to Office 365. That's not shown within this script, but it's absolutely supported option. And then one additional point on the certificates, this certificate is not used for example, for securing SSL or HTTPS. So this certificate is used essentially for handshaking between the on-premises farm and Office 365. So you can absolutely use a third-party provider for the certificates if that's your security policies. But it's really important to understand where the certificate is used and is it then worthwhile to get a third-party certificate for this particular usage.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a publicly trusted one. It can be, of course. But yeah, if you get a third-party one, definitely possible if your company allows, needs it. But think about the key length. Don't forget the key length. All right, so step one helps you create a certificate and export it to a PFX file. So a PFX file is a secure container to store a certificate and its private key. So once you have the PFX file created with the certificate, we move to the second step, and that's installing some binary dependencies and download the PowerShell module. So first the binary dependencies. So in order to make the configuration, you need to install the Microsoft Online Services Sign-In Assistant on the server that you're running the script against. So in step three, we are actually running the script that makes the load rest. Since you need to run the script on the SharePoint box itself, you also need to install this particular binaries on the SharePoint box that you are running the script from. So in this case, then we need that Microsoft Online Services Sign-In Assistant, and we need a Microsoft Online Services module for PowerShell. Both are linked over here, and both are very small setups, easy to install. if I recall correctly, they don't even require you to reboot or something like that. So it's a lightweight install. Once you have done that, you need to prepare to run the actual script that makes the connection. Now, this script is available in MSDN, in MSDN page, which is linked over here. So let's actually show that page. And let's, if it loads, scroll down. So this is the MSDN page defining the how to set up your provider hosted add-ins to use Lodetrust. It explains the certificate setup using the IIS manager. But if you scroll down, you see here like a big script with a function connect to SP forum AD, Azure AD. So this is the script that you will need to copy. Just copy the complete text and save it as connect dash SP forum to AAD dot PSM one. So PowerShell module. And I would recommend actually to save this script and the other scripts we will talk about later to kind of put them all on a network share in your environment, which would then allow the multiple SharePoint forums to leverage the same location of scripts for doing the setup. So step two is fairly simple. Installing the binaries, copying the scripts, and putting it on a file share or a local directory, whatever you choose. In step three, we're going to do the actual Lodetrust setup. Finally, almost there. Now, if you would follow the MSDN article, it would require you to do several manual steps to prepare for running the actual connect SP forum to Azure AD command. And we thought to make your life even easier, and we kind of wrapped those individual steps into a script which we call the Lodetrust configuration session. Essentially, what it will do is it will set up the STS signing certificates, reset the SharePoint timer service, and import the module so it's ready for you to start using. Now, in order to run this script, you need to specify a couple of input parameters, being first of all, location to the PFX file. So in step one, we created that certificate and we stored it in the PFX file. So we need to find that one, and it can be a file share like shown here. Its password, so the password to open up the PFX file. And finally, we need to let the script know where did we put that module that we downloaded in step two. If you then run the scripts, you get a session ready to call connect SP forum to Azure AD. And to connect SP forum to Azure AD, there are a number of options to call that one, which are listed over here. So this is your first time that you set up this particular connection, you would typically use option number one, which requires you to specify the Azure AD domain. So this is the domain of your tenant. Requires you to specify the URL of your SharePoint Online environment. So typically this is HTTPS tenant.sharepoint.com. And then finally, you need to specify the web application for which you are setting up the Lodetrust. So this will specifically set up Lodetrust for this web application. When you have additional web applications, you need to do some other steps, which we'll talk about soon. So this is the recommended way to do it for the initial setup. You could allow Lodetrust over HTTP, but I would not recommend doing that outside of a development environment. But even in development environment, I don't actually personally, I've never used it. So not sure about you, Vesa. Do you think this is a useful option?
Well, theoretically, in the development environments, absolutely. But I'm all with you. If we do the HTTP, enable this in HTTP, then the access tokens are freely readable. And well, their lifecycle is limited, but it's not necessarily the right thing to do.
Absolutely. So in the last sample, it shows some interesting parameters: remove existing ACS, remove existing STS, remove existing SPO proxy, and remove existing Azure AD credentials. So this is the options that I use when I want to just refresh the connection that I have. So this kind of deletes everything which was put in place by the script and recreates things from scratch, which is a good way to refresh or the load trust setup.
True, because it actually creates a new service application and all of that whenever you are executing the script. So yes. If something is failed, those are great options to get restarting the whole thing.
All right. Yeah. So let's have a look at this load trust configuration session script. So the script will load SharePoint modules because we need to use SharePoint module in the connect dash sp farm to Azure AD script. We require the SharePoint module is loaded. We are setting the STS token signing certificates over here. We are resetting IS and resetting the timer service. So remember that the script is only doing this for the server that we run the script against, but you need to repeat this step as well for all the other servers in your environment.
And it has to be clear, the resetting has to be executed in all of the other servers, not the set SP security token config, because that's a firm-wide.
Correct. So this part is to be done for all the servers. This is only a one-time operation. And then we're going to import the module. So we're going to grab that module that you downloaded, import it, and do a check, like, is this connect-spfarm to Azure AD function available? If it's not showing up in this method over here, something went wrong and you can't execute the module, can't execute the function in the module. All right, so once you have done this, let's go back. Scrolling down. One final step is this one. So you've done the script that runs successfully. You set up your, let's say, your portal.contoso.com, and everything is ready. Now, you might want to also enable additional web applications to also use load trust, because your users want to deploy add-ins to those web applications as well. You don't need to repeat the previous step again, because that will break the current setup. So the option, the way enable load trust for additional web applications is calling this particular PowerShell script, which is making this happen for you. And if you have completed the step, I think, yep, I'm sure, actually, you set up the load trust in your environment. Now, I always want to verify that are things working. The scripts might have worked and they didn't throw errors, so you might think everything is good. But for example, with that certificate key length, at that point the scripts also worked and everything was fine, but eventually it was not fine, it didn't work. So how to do a verification? And that's, oops, not on Outlook, that's on the slides.
Let's have a look on your email, come on, Bert.
No, you don't want to see my inbox. So how to verify, and these are just a few simple steps before you actually install an add-in. Installing and using an add-in, of course, is the final verification step. But even before you start doing that, I would recommend checking out these two things. First of all, if you go to Service Applications in SharePoint Central Administration, you need to see two additional service application proxies being created and the started mode. So the ACS and the SPO add-in management proxy. If they're not there or not started, something went wrong. And it's the connect the dash sp farm Azure AD script that does set up these particular proxies. If they're running, then we move to the next step and let's try to register an app via app rec new. So if you do any site collection URL slash underscore layouts slash 15 slash app rec new dot hpx, you generate the client ID, generate client secrets, and then hit on the OK button, which I cut off from the screenshot I see. But at that point, you will ask actually SharePoint to go to Azure ACS and register this application principle, this client ID, client secret, kind of get it registered in Azure ACS. If for some reason something is wrong, for example, with the certificate, at that point, this will fail. So these two steps have to work successfully before you can do the final verification by installing an actual add-in. All right, so I hope that we managed to show you that it's not hard to do the load trust setup. There are a number of steps, but it's not rocket science. It's well documented, and the scripts are proven. So it's just a matter of running them. The resources section is giving you the links to the PNP tools locations containing the scripts for the enable site collection creation and for the enable load trust authentication.
And we'll add those to the description of the video as well, so people can use
absolutely. Yeah, I think that kind of wraps up the session.
Not to be too precise, but I noticed a small thing. Probably we won't do a re-recording of this one, just kidding, Bert, but there's a 2015 copyright on this one. But anyway, let's wrap up.
Wait.
Oh, you're fixing that on fly.
Yeah,
cool.
See. Fixed. No recording needed.
We're good. Very good.
Anyhow, thanks everyone for attending. I hope to see you on the next show.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Bye.